Satan, the father of lies. He loves to suppress the truth. This is what makes journalism today, and maybe all forever, people act like journalism back then was okay. As soon as they realized they had some power, it was no longer okay. Well, anyway, Satan looks to suppress the truth. Oh, don't, that's what an editor, a news editor does. No, don't publish that. That truth may work against what we're up to.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through a special series called Truth, Love, and Testimony. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, open your Bibles to the book of 3 John chapter 1 as we join Pastor Rick for a brand new message called Reinforcements.
3 John, we'll take verses 9 through 14 if you have your Bibles. Verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. I just love this section. It is so necessary in all ages for the church. Consideration is entitled Reinforcements. Three men are remembered in this section by John, in this last paragraph as we have it. One was a usurping scoundrel by the name of Demetrius, or Demetrius, however you choose to pronounce it. And having no business being accepted by a congregation, by believers, some were accepting him nonetheless. Another of the three men was an honorable man, Gaius by name. And John sent a faithful brother to reinforce Gaius in the midst of this struggle with Diotrephes. And that man that he sent, the third character, is Demetrius. Ecclesiastes 4:12, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Well, John was on to that. And so he's sending the second letter, at least, to the church, wherever it is located, because we're not told. He's not sending it to the assembly or the pastor, Diotrephes, who hijacked the church, but he has to send it direct to Gaius, and I'll come back to that, hopefully. But it is better to have, or at least to face the devil's flunkies with reinforcements. Our Lord would send them out in twos. Luke's Gospel, Chapter 10, verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then there's Acts chapter 13. You know, that's that beautiful passage where he says, separate to me Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. And I'd like to read it because it's just a beautiful passage. Acts chapter 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And there again is the Holy Spirit sending them out in twos, one to reinforce the other. And this is what we have in this troublesome situation. So John, again, he dispatches Demetrius to reinforce Gaius against the troublemaker Diotrephes. I'll be mentioning that name, Diotrephes, quite a few times, hopefully to drill it into the heads of any of us who may need to be aware of these things, because the spirit of Diotrephes finds its way into churches to this very day. I don't think there's a pastor who's been pastoring any length of time that has not had to deal with some potential, at the least, Diotrephes. Now we look at verse 9. He says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, does not receive us. Where's the first letter? He says, I wrote to the church. Well, that's the one that Diotrephes intercepted, possibly destroyed. Maybe it still managed to circulate. Perhaps it was 2 John. We don't know. But we know that that is that disjunctive where he says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves the limelight, who loves to be number one, hence the this letter here that John is writing to this hijacked assembly. I think many of the converts at this time coming into the church from the pagan world, from Greek mythology mainly, they didn't understand the hierarchy of the church, that the apostles were the overseers. They laid the foundation. They were appointed to do this. And if you messed with them, you messed with Christ. And for anybody to remain in a congregation where one of the apostles, the last living apostle, was being badmouthed is atomically perplexing, unless it is ignorance. This Diotrephes is one of the despicable characters of the New Testament. There aren't as many of them in the New Testament, because, of course, there's not as much volume. In the Old Testament, they're everywhere. But we have a few. We've got Herod, of course, that killed the innocent children at Bethlehem. And we have men like Demetrius the silversmith. There are other scoundrels, Alexander. But this one is one of the ugliest, because he's infiltrated the church. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Jesus said to his disciples, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Well, you better have faith to be encouraged by that, to even be able to call that an encouragement. You'd have to say, well, if he sent me out against these carnivores, he must be with me. He must have a plan. And that's what faith does. Faithlessness just falls apart in the face of the threat. Oh, no, that's it. I mean, faith is not supposed to be dumb. But faithlessness is not recommended either. Grace strikes the balance, finds out what's what, at least gets to work in doing so. He says, who loves to have preeminence among them does not receive us. And this is one of the creeps in the church Jude will speak about when we get to Jude next session, hopefully. But how opposite of what John the Baptist said, looking at Jesus, he said, he must increase, I must decrease. Diotrephes says, I must increase, period. Let everybody else decrease. I'm the only one that should shine forth, a self-exalted fool. Proverbs 18:2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. And see, what the apostles taught interfered with what Diotrephes was teaching, which was Gnosticism. And if you were intelligent, if you had the seal of intelligentsia on your life, then you had to listen to Gnosticism. I mean, no, what idiot would believe in evolution? Oh, pardon me, creation. That's mockery. I mean, oops. I may have said it the wrong way the first time or the right way. Self-anointed, appointed dictator. And they still exist. He says, does not receive us. That's elder rebellion. Imagine telling one of Christ's handpicked men, who were handpicked just for this purpose, to establish the first church, the collective at large, first church. Imagine telling this appointed leader to go jump in the lake. And that's what Diotrephes was doing. That authority given to the apostles, it's in quite a few places in the New Testament, but I'll just take a few. Matthew 18, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's pretty big authority. He's saying to his apostles, to his pastors, listen, there are going to be times when you won't know the exact answer to give, and you're going to have to make a decision. Make the decision, and I'll back you up. Not a reckless decision. Just do the best you can with what you have. Otherwise everything begins to break down. You'd be too afraid to make a decision. You'd be panic-stricken. Someone asks you, I don't know the answer to that one. Get away from me. I don't want to be judged. So you have this authority. Matthew 28:19. This one is for the apostles, but it extends to us. All believers, go therefore and make disciples. Make disciples. Matthaios is the Greek word there, where we get our English word mathematics. It requires discipline. He says, of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then there's Jude, verse 17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jude got it. Jude dealing with Gnosticism also. He said, we go by what the apostles say, not these new Johnny-come-latelys, these upstarts. Then there's Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles. And if you don't continue in that, you become a cult. The Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Gnostic, they all departed from the doctrine of the apostles, while at the same time saying they weren't. Satan works through such people, especially in churches. He targets churches. Psalm 81, the haters of Yahweh would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. In other words, their judgment will be without ending, eternal judgment. They pretend submission. Well, Diotrephes had reached a point where he was no longer pretending because he felt his points were so much better than John's that he could attack him publicly. Satan, hard at work. Why is anybody surprised he targets churches? We're the first choice. Satan, who would you like to attack? Would you like to go down to the saloon and attack that or the church? He's going to go at the church first. He'll attack anything. He hates us all. He hates the people at the churches as much as he hates the people at the saloons. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. It makes it hard to function when you've got people who are under the sway of Satan making decisions that directly affect your life. It was worse in the days of the apostles than it is for us now. Satan, the father of lies, he loves to suppress the truth. This is what makes journalism today and maybe all forever. People act like journalism back then was okay. As soon as they realized they had some power, it was no longer okay. Well, anyway, Satan looks to suppress the truth. Oh, don't, that's what an editor, a news editor does. No, don't publish that. That truth may work against what we're up to. I just did that. I never did that up here before. Never. That's the first time. 2 Corinthians 4. Paul dealing with the troublesome people, mainly in 1 Corinthians, but then in 2 Corinthians, things got better. But they were still there, and he knew it, and he did not stop calling them out on it. But he speaks of Satan. He says, whose mind the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So Satan, this is the father of lies. He is out to blind people, lest the glory of Christ shine on them. That's where we come in, bringing our lamps with us to shine the light on those whom the Holy Spirit is already working on. The result of Satan's work is often social breakdown, especially in the moral sense. And then it just balloons into worse things. Jeremiah had to deal with this. Jeremiah had to live amongst the people who touted in his face that they were the people of God. Well, they worshiped the pagan altars and stole and lied and murdered and did whatever they could do. Oh, in Yahweh's name. It got so bad, Jeremiah said, I wish I had a house up in the mountains just to get away from everybody. It's so bad. In that same chapter, chapter 9 of Jeremiah, he goes on to write after. He says, I wish I had a place to go. He says, everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Some of them are right now rioting in certain cities. The Antifa group, Satan's minion, and they don't even know it, most of them. They're too preoccupied with carnal passions to even know what's going on spiritually. Yes, Satan sways people to attack our faith while claiming to belong to our faith. 1 Timothy 6, Paul speaking about those who are doing this very thing, he says, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Don't be around these people. These are the folks that are in churches that want to prosper materialistically through using the name of Jesus Christ. We call them today the prosperity teachers. They boast about this stuff. It's not prosperity. Have they ever read 1 Timothy 6:5? Maybe once. To know not to go back there and read it again. Swaying people to exchange the truth of God for a lie. This is what Satan does. That's what we're talking about. This is what was happening through and in Diotrephes. It's not a joke. It's not something we just read about in the Bible that happened there somewhere in that ancient world. It still goes on. Some of you have dealt with people like this, and you know that Satan was pulling their strings. Romans chapter 1, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Paul is writing this. He's in Corinth. He's maybe just came from the market. Maybe he's looking out his window where this stuff was rampant. He looks out or just knows it's there, and he says, these people have exchanged the truth for lies. They worship things that are in creation at the exclusion of the Creator. Because if you worship the Creator in truth, you could not worship the things created. It's one of the points to make against those who have American Indian religions. They worship the eagle and the bear, and we say to them, you're worshiping a created object or item. There's a Creator, and he is much. There's much more to him than just worshiping him. There's acting upon the worship. Diotrephes infiltrated the pulpit and did serious damage. Verse 10. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. So John says that he's going to confront this, that this will not get a pass. But John is very old now. And the idea of him traveling any length, distance is not something to just pull off easily. And just because he was an apostle of the Lord does not mean he did not have health issues. We don't know what kind of issues he may have had. Maybe he suffered with gout or arthritis or maybe, cataracts. Who knows? But his intention and the message that he sends to the church is this is something that must be confronted. It is an unpleasant imperative. Titus, Paul said to him, Titus was a little bit apparently more aggressive than what Paul thought Timothy was. I think Timothy was just as aggressive and right on as a pastor as all the rest of them, but Paul babied him. Paul loved him so much. Now, Timothy, don't you run with those scissors in your hands. And Timothy's like 45 driving around in a car, and he's like, what's he talking about? But that's what love does. And So, but Titus and Tychicus, they go troubleshoot for Paul. Timothy did too. Anyway, Titus too, he says to him, speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. And that's what John is saying to Gaius, who may not have that personality. I'll deal with him. Gaius, I'm sending Demetrius to reinforce you. And Gaius is going to say, John, I'll deal with him. And you say, well, how? Well, I can't tell you because it violates love. I'm kidding. So that's not very loving, but it's effective. No, it's the battle of the flesh. The flesh always wants to ruin what the spirit can do. And the spirit often needs time to do it. And it is the way it is. You've got to accept it. He says, prating against us with malicious word. Prating in the Greek is closer to talking nonsense. I mean, he just, yeah. John is pretty much saying, really, who cares what he's saying because it's wrong, but it still has to be dealt with. And the words were malicious. And again, in the English and the Greek, it's evil and it's harmful. It's depraved speech. It's not the speech that you would get from a pastor. And he said evil things about John and the disciples. And he did evil things. And we'll come to it in a moment. John Gospel, chapter 15, verse 20, if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. That's a lot of authority to give to the apostles, is it not? Your word is tantamount, is equal to my word because it's coming from me to you. That's why I picked you. To dare go against such a one, it's spiritual suicide. I would not want to be Diotrephes on Judgment Day. I'm having enough time being me on Judgment Day. So to settle any question of disfellowship, if the person is against the apostles and they are promoting it, those are grounds for disfellowship. If someone comes in the congregation and just to attack the apostles is to attack the New Testament. They're one and the same. Their doctrines, their teachings. Not all of their actions, of course, but in the context of the entire event. For instance, Peter, you know, he stumbled with the Lord. Paul made a goof up with James. James made a lot of goof ups. He just couldn't shake his legalistic roots. But yet his letter is spot on and is righteous, 100%. God breathed, just as you would look at Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Psalm and say they're connected to Solomon, who had some issues. One or two. Thousand. How different from King David, who would not lift his sword and do in Saul when he had grounds to do him in, but not Diotrephes. He'll do in John first chance he gets because he's not continuing in the apostles' doctrine. He is continuing against it. He says here in verse 10, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, the traveling preachers we spoke about. I think verses 5 and 6 of this same letter. Those men that would go around and they would not take money from Gentiles, and John was saying, Gaius, you did the right thing taking care of them. Diotrephes would have none of that. And if you took an itinerant, a traveling preacher, into your house, you booted out of the church because he wants the limelight. And the thought that somebody else is a better preacher than him, he will not have it. In 1 Chronicles, when David was being coronated by all of Israel, all the tribes, there are some beautiful snapshots, comments about the spirit of unity and obedience in the troops that came out to parade before their new king. And this was one of my favorites. It's 1 Chronicles 12:33 of Zebulun. And if you're not familiar, that's one of the tribes of Israel, one of the sons of Jacob. Of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went to battle, expert in war, with all weapons of war, stout-hearted men who could keep ranks, disciplined troops that were armed. This is what the church is supposed to be. This is what churchgoers are supposed to be, stout-hearted, who can keep ranks and don't flee when the enemy shows up. And usually the enemy shows up not with to make them flee, not with grenades and mortars, but tissue boxes or some petty thing. And boom, some are gone. Beware of that. It doesn't have to be that way, and it is certainly not that way with a great many of troops in the faith, or else there would be no good churches. He says he forbids those who wish to, as I've already commented on. We have to be careful that we don't protect heretics by trying to be too nice and kind to them when we are to stand up against them. Again, the authority of these apostles. If you show me someone who says, I'm a Christian, but they hold the Old Testament over the New Testament, you have someone who's departed from the doctrine of the apostles. The Old Testament is every bit of God's word, but Jesus came along and then he put it under the authority of the New Testament.
Thanks for listening to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. If you're interested in more information about this ministry, you can visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find more of Pastor Rick's teachings available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. By doing so, you'll become aware of each new edition of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning more from this series, Truth, Love, and Testimony, here on Cross Reference Radio.